Turn to John chapter 20. I'm just going to read verses 11 through 18 of John chapter 20 for the sake of time. John chapter 20 and verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, please tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God, and to your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. What I want to try to speak to today, I've entitled, Whom Seekest Thou? Whom Seekest Thou? Now, we have here in John chapter 20, this is the day of the resurrection. This is the day of the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead. One of the most glorious days this world has ever seen. The long promised fulfillment of the triumphant Messiah enters a new chapter here. He come into the world, God manifest in the flesh. He was light, coming into the world that knew only darkness. But right now, he had just risen from the dead, and this is the account we have of it. John the Baptist had stated, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. God had made him sin for us. The iniquity of his people was laid upon him. He suffered, died, and was buried. His blood was shed for many for the remission of sins. That's what it says. Now the price of sin was paid by him. He was forsaken by God. He died, buried, but today, this day, as recorded here, he is risen. This is one of the most wonderful things ever to happen in this world. Where is it taking place? Where is this glorious scene taking place? Wondrous, gracious resurrection? In a small garden, in a small tomb. In a place called Gethsemane, they said. Or not Gethsemane, but in this Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. Who was there? Jesus. Two angels. There were two apostles, but they've left. And one woman. How does this marvelous scene play out? The woman is spoken to by two angels. Then she is spoken to by the risen Lord Jesus Christ, first of all. That's it. This is how the Lord of glory chose to reveal his resurrection to his people at the very first. And this is so far removed from what men would think of, it's not even in their minds. Because this resurrection here, this resurrection scene, makes absolutely no sense to the world or to the religious world. There's no grand announcements. There's no heavenly host of angels. There's two angels, and that was enough. There's no loud shouts of hallelujah or hosanna, no triumphant parade, no rubbing it in the noses of Herod and Pilate. That's what I'd have done. I mean, you know. You understand, when he died, darkness fell upon the earth. The earth shook. The earth quaked. When he died, prophets of old raised from the dead and were speaking. But when it comes to the resurrection of our Lord, it's in this small garden at this tomb and with these three people, Peter and John, who'd already left. At this time, you'll see it. In the very beginning, Mary Magdalene went to anoint him, and in another accounts, it does say other women went with him. And it says they ran back to say that he was gone. Peter and John took off. They went to the sepulcher, saw he was gone. They left. But Mary stayed. Mary stayed. Why is this the scene of our Lord's resurrection? Well, I got an idea about that. But the first point is this. This is exactly the way the Lord chose to reveal himself risen from the dead to this one woman out of whom he had cast seven devils. You understand? Two apostles were just there. Two apostles, Peter and John, two chief apostles, were there. Christ did not show himself to them. Christ did not reveal himself to them. He didn't say a word to them. Not then. He will later. But not at this very first point. He picks a woman out of whom he had cast seven devils. A woman who was weeping. This happened this way because this is the way God purposed it. Not being fatalistic. I am being faithful. I believe what the scripture says. I purposed it. I'll do it. This is what he purposed because this is what he did. The God of the Bible, the Christ of the Bible, does everything his way. This is the beginning of our Lord's ministry after he was raised from the dead, and this is the way he wanted it to be. Now look at verse 15. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Excuse me. Like I said, Mary Magdalene came first, saw the stone rolled away. Peter and John came second and went into the tomb, and then they left. It says they went home. But it tells you why. Let me see. Verse 9. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Now, if you read the book of John, you will read that Christ told them he was going to raise from the dead. But when it come time to actually seeing it, our human minds still don't get it. Because when it comes time to meet the disciples and he talks with them later, he opens their understanding of the scriptures. And they begin to see even more. And it says that he will send the comforter later. And guess what? He's going to remind you of all the things I said. Why? Because here it's clear they had forgot some of the things he said. They left, but Mary stayed. She'd come back, and she stayed. And the first words we have recorded as spoken by Jesus after his resurrection are these words, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" Christ first spoke to Mary Magdalene because he chose to speak to Mary Magdalene first. That's just the long and the short of it. Now, when he said, Woman, why weepest thou? And he said, Whom seekest thou? I want to make this very plain. The Lord Jesus Christ never asked a question that he didn't already know the answer to. He knew the answers. He knew the answers. That's not why he asked questions to find anything out. That's why I ask questions. It may be why you ask questions. He asked questions so that we might learn something. The person he was speaking to might learn something. He asked questions of the scribes and the Pharisees. They wouldn't answer, Mason. They wouldn't answer. Because the last time he answered me, he said, is it lawful to pay taxes unto Caesar? He picked up a coin and says, whose superscription is this? Was it Caesar's? He said, well, you give to Caesar what's Caesar's. And you give to God what's God's. And some of them quit asking him questions. And he'd ask them a question, and they wouldn't answer. Because the answer was going to put them in trouble. But here, he knew the answer to this question. And I don't think this was exasperation. I believe he asked this question, Woman, why weepest thou? Out of sympathy and to comfort and to speak with Mary Magdalene about this. He knew how she felt. He knew why she was weeping. He was talking to her, but she did not know who he was at the time. Now, whether this is she was so teared up, she wasn't seeing straight, she didn't look straight, but she heard his voice, but she didn't recognize it then. Or whether it's like those two men on the way to Emmaus that said their eyes were holding so that they did not see him as Jesus. And he traveled with them a great way. That happens not too long after this, that same day. But he asked her, Woman, why weepest thou? He knew why she was weeping. Psalms 34 and verse 18 says this, The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. We have a friend who sticks closer than a brother. The first act of the Lord of glory after his resurrection was to comfort one of his brethren. I think that's significant. It because in this world we shall have tribulation. And he is the only comfort we have. We do comfort each other as best we can. But the only comfort I have for the people of God is his words in this book. I can't comfort you, but his word can. He can. And he is always near his people. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, there I am in the midst. That's what it says. And you know what? That's what it means. I believe Christ is here right now, whether we know it or not. I believe it. And I believe he purposely decided to reveal himself to Mary, to speak to Mary, and to comfort this woman who was distraught. She didn't know he was risen. She thought somebody stole his body. He is closer. Jesus Christ is usually closer than we ever realize. And he is what? Nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. She thought he was the gardener, but it was her Lord. The second question, whom seekest thou? Whom seekest thou? That's a good question. Of course it's a good question. It came from Christ. But I do want you to look at the opposite of this, not the opposite, but the negative part of this. The question Christ asks is not, what are you seeking? A lot of people are seeking a lot of what's in this world, and they're not seeking whom. There are a lot of people seeking peace of mind. And believe me, I'd like to have some days, especially at work. But this world is corrupt. Men are corrupt. And work is a part of the curse. And our mind is cursed. Our understanding is darkened, and naturally we love darkness and hate the light. Our mind does not want the Lord. We'd like some peace of mind. We'd like a little comfort in our lives. We'd like a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But that's not the what. That's a what, not a whom. Walter, a tract the other day. Big letters on the front, it's just a little track, but big letters on the front, there are no fire escapes in hell. That's a what some people are looking for. They're looking for an escape from hell. They're not looking for the Lord. They're not looking for God. They'll pay lip service to it, but what they're looking for is an escape from hell, or, in the case of a place where we used to be, the way they used to preach, you didn't want to go through the tribulation. That's going to be a bad time for people. And they tried to emotionally get people to make a decision to escape the tribulation. That's a what. That's all that is a what. And some are seeking health and wealth. There are church societies. To be nice and put it that way, that are dedicated to health and wealth. If you don't get it, if you don't have it, it's your fault. And if you don't have it, your salvation may be questionable. I don't read anywhere in here where any of these apostles or any of the people the apostles preached to were healthy and wealthy, you know? In this world ye shall have tribulation. That's the only promise we got. He has promised that he would take care of us. He has promised to be near and to comfort us. I believe he said, marvel not when men hate you. See, the question is not, what seekest thou? And I'll tell you this, the question is not, where seekest thou? Because there are people who think there's value in a place. Now, I'm not going to mention Mecca or the Vatican or any other place. But there are people who put much value in a place and none in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are some who seek it in nature. Oh, I get close to God in the woods. There are some who are outer space. They like to look at the stars and see the movement and all that stuff. And every time they make a theory, it turns out 20 years later that theory's wrong. That's all right. We'll make another one. We're studying how the cosmos came together or came apart or whatever. They're seeking a what, not a who. What is not the question. Where is not the question. The question is, whom seekest thou? That's the question. And Mary Magdalene, out of whom were cast seven devils. You know, it's like Rahab the harlot, Walter. Every time Mary Magdalene's mentioned, she says, out of whom Christ cast seven devils. It's all right. This is the woman. This is the person. This is the one of his brethren that he chose to reveal himself to. He asked, whom seekest thou? Well, Mary was seeking him. Mary was seeking a person. That's why Christ asked this question. He knew the answer already. He knew. He knew why she was crying. He knew who she was looking for. But he asked it for us. And that's the question we all have to ask ourselves. Whom seekest thou? Who are you seeking? Because if it's not him, it's wrong. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter where it is. And it doesn't matter who it is. If it's not him, it doesn't matter, because it's wrong if it's not him. Now, I do know Paul wrote, there are none that seek after God. And that's true. Naturally, the natural man does not seek after God. Paul also wrote of Isaiah, from Isaiah, I am found of them that sought me not. I'm believed on by people that asked not after me. Because I will tell you this, there are some who seek the Lord, but that seeking only comes after he's found them. They find the Lord. Why? Because he found them. What's he say? I'm bringing in my sheep. Other sheep I have. What? Them I must bring. And when he brings, you'll seek him. He is nigh thee. Because it's whom that matters. Whom seekest thou? It's a person. Jesus asked his disciples, after a great multitude left him, they'd walked away after his words, after what he said, after the message he preached, they walked away. Because of what he said. because of what he preached. And he looked at his disciples and he said, "Will you also go away?" And Peter answered. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" To whom shall... That's the point. To whom shall you go? Peter said, "Thou hast the words of eternal life. Whom seekest thou?" To whom will you go? The world will go anywhere and everywhere. And they will go after anyone and everyone except this one right here who revealed himself to Mary Magdalene. To whom shall you go? If you have not been put in the place where you have no one and nowhere else to turn to, you don't know him. Because whom seekest thou is the question. That's the question. If you're not seeking him, you don't know him. And that's the course of this world right now. That's the course of church life right now. Of so-called, well, Walter, pseudo-Christianity. That's a nice way of saying fakes. Fake Christianity. That's what it is. Earl used to call them religious societies. Because it was a society, it wasn't a family. Jesus asked these questions for a reason, to put into Mary's mind at that time whom she was seeking. And she told him, "I'm seeking my Lord. Not my Savior. Not a man. I'm seeking my Lord." If you're not seeking him, the Lord, you don't know who you're seeking. There's lots of people out there, they want you to claim Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Or to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Whom seekest thou? If he's not Lord, if you don't know him as the Lord, as the one who can save, you don't know him. Because it takes the power of God to save every single sinner. It took the death of God manifest in the flesh to pay that price. And it takes the power of God for you to believe him. Whom seekest thou? The answer is in a person. It's in the Lord. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. That's all it takes. That's all it takes is for the Lord to speak your name. Walter did it on the radio this morning. I'm the good shepherd. But I call my sheep by name. A, I'm the good shepherd. B, they're my sheep. C, I call them. And D, by name. By name. Mary. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. He talked to her before. She didn't recognize him. She thought he was the gardener. But when he called her by name, guess what? Mary knew him. Whom seekest thou? Mary knew him. Excuse me. And I'll tell you this. Mary knew him exactly when he wanted her to know him. And you can take that any way you want. If Jesus wants you to know him, He will call you by name. And guess what? You will know. You will know him whom seekest thou. And you will know then. Not before and not of yourself. There's a reason it's called revelation. There's a reason it's called revealing. No one ever knows Christ Jesus until he unveils himself to the eyes of those he has opened. And this happens in time, in his time, when he was ready for Mary to see him. He's always there. He's always been there. He is everywhere. This is God we're talking about. It's just our eyes don't see. I never saw any of this stuff before. The Lord showed it to me. None of it. Seriously. I was seriously ignorant in 1983 or 82. Thank God I'm nowhere near as ignorant as I used to be. I'm still ignorant. I'm still depraved. But since he spoke my name and called me by his grace, I know him. And guess what? Today, I'm seeking him. The seeking doesn't stop. The following doesn't stop. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If you can throw it away, if you can stop, you might as well go ahead. I'm still reminded of that story this fella told, that he was trying to encourage. He was holding a revival meeting, and he was trying to encourage an old 84-year-old pastor, or 80-year-old pastor. And he said, he preached a sermon on five reasons why I can't quit. And that old preacher come up to him and said, you know, I've always preached here that quit if you can. Because if you can, the problem's with you. There are people who have quit this assembly. And they have quit Christ. And they have quit everything to do with the Lord. There are others who have left this place because they had to move to get another job. That's not what we're talking about. And we've had some go and come back. And that encourages me. But the thing is, today, right here, right now, whom seekest thou? When Christ said her name, she knew exactly who he was. The light shines even when we're blinded to it. The light of the world is everywhere even when we don't see it. Or see him, excuse me. But when Christ speaks, and he speaks to you, you'll know it. And you'll know him. She turned, she saw, and she said, Rabboni. Now this is not rabbi. It's a different word. This is actually, I looked at it, it's Aramaic. You have rabbi, Rabboni. It's a stage above rabbi. It is master, it is Lord. That's the word that she used when she saw him. Whom seekest thou? He is Lord. I and my Father are one. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Question today. I'm going to throw this in. Because I told you at the beginning, I had a little bit of an idea of why he did it this way. Revealing himself to Mary and not to Peter and John, who were already there and then left. Well, just these words right here. In verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. The resurrection of Jesus Christ rising from the dead is a family matter. Go and see my brethren. He didn't say go and see my disciples, although they were. He didn't say go and see my worshipers, although they were. He said go see my brethren. Go tell my brethren. And I'm going to see my Father and your Father. Guess what? It's the same Father. I'm going to see my God and your God, and it's the same God. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is for the family of God, and it is for no one else. Like I said at the beginning, he didn't go point his finger at Herod and Pilate and say, here I am. What'd I tell you? Y'all wouldn't listen. That's the kind of stuff I would do. The resurrection of Christ is only for the family, is only revealed to the family. Now, we preach it openly and publicly. We proclaim that Christ is risen. But I'll tell you this, only those whom he hath chosen from the foundation of the world, only his sheep that he has called by name will believe that the Lord has risen indeed. Those are the only ones. The resurrection of Christ was a family matter. And only the family receive him. Why? Because he only brings in his family. Other sheep I have, them I must bring. And he's bringing them in. But they're already a part of the family. They're already sheep. Whom seekest thou? Whom seekest thou? Our Heavenly Father, thank you again for this place, this time, and your word, Lord. Your rising from the dead. Your ascending to your Father. Your making the offering of your body, the Father's acceptance, and our salvation in time, bringing in your sheep. Thank you, Lord, for all these things. In Christ's name,